Colossians 3, verses 14 through 17. Colossians 3, verse 14. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is our reading of God's good and holy word. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, it's Thanksgiving morning. Some of us have been thinking a lot, perhaps, of food this past week, thinking of today's meal and celebration, and not to mention the best part of Thanksgiving, the leftovers for the days afterwards. And some of you have been planning out the meals. You're having people over, or you're bringing a dish or something to a meal at somebody's house. And you've been thinking about buying the right ingredients and getting that ready, and it's a wonderful time of year. Perhaps you've been planning some old favorites, or maybe you're trying something a little riskier this year. Kitchens are going to be messy for a while because, you know, before you have the finished product, you got a messy kitchen just full of all kinds of ingredients and measuring cups and bowls and everything else all over the place. My daughter baked a pecan pie last night, what I like to call one of the best proofs for the existence of a good God. At one point, the kitchen was just a huge mess, because that's what you have to do. You have to make a mess in order to make something truly wonderful and beautiful. So you have all these wonderful ingredients, and all of them are great in themselves. I mean, individually, some of them are even kind of tasty, but they're nothing compared to the final product, right? The delicious pecan pie or whatever you've been working on this past week. And you combine those ingredients in just the right quantity and in the right kind of mixture, and you get just the right, you know, product and fruit from that. Well, Paul has been describing in this chapter, in this whole book, you know, a number of ingredients for having a healthy church, like a unified church. And he's been describing those different ingredients, including some of those in our verses here this morning. And he's been talking about things like humility and patience and long-suffering with one another, being willing to bear with one another and forgive one another. And, you know, these things have to be happening if you want to have, like, a healthy product, you know, something that approximates, you know, a good and healthy, unified church. Now, it's not surprising that in verse 14 he says, above all, love. That's very consistent with the whole Bible and with what Paul talks about, right? He often emphasizes all kinds of key ingredients to the Christian life, but then he says, love above all. In verse 14, it's the bond of perfection. But there's my point this morning is that there is another ingredient, the very theme of, you know, our National Day of Thanksgiving, and that is thankfulness in the believer's hearts, in our mind, in our will, when it comes to a faithful walk with God. This is another really key ingredient that kind of binds all the other ingredients together in the heart of the Christian and in the life of a congregation living together and worshiping God together. And it's not a duty to perform, you know, one day out of the year, but it's a way of life, a godly pursuit, a fervent desire to pray for, to want to be a truly grateful person. So as we look at these verses briefly here this morning, verses 15 through 17, thankfulness is really mentioned in every part of these verses. We're going to see them in connection with a few other ingredients. So first of all, peace from verse 15, the peace of God and thankfulness. Paul says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And the word there for rule is actually used in other places for an umpire in an athletic event where there's like, you know, an umpire or a referee or whatever has to deal with contested situations where you're not sure who touched the ball before it went out of bounds. And that could be a very tough decision. And so the umpire comes in and he rules, he controls that situation. And Paul's, it's a wonderful way of looking at it. Let the peace of God rule your hearts. Let that control your hearts. Well, all the other things that could be controlling your heart, fear, anxiety, bitterness, discontentment, everything else, let the peace of God, may the peace that God has made with you through Jesus Christ, let that rule your heart. And through your heart, you know, everything else. Your thoughts, your actions, your attitudes, and everything else. This cannot be just a decision of the will. I'm going to let the peace of God rule. It has to be much more than that. It has to be within the core of my being, in my heart. Think of thanksgiving then, as he ends that verse, be thankful, as the like the yeast in the other ingredients, that active yeast that activates everything else. In order to activate that peace, that enjoying that peace, letting that peace rule, changing your heart, your life, give thanks. Because giving thanks, just the act of giving thanks, brings to mind all the things that God has done, all the things that Christ has suffered on your behalf and my behalf. Just the act of expressing a list of things that I'm thankful for to my Heavenly Father brings that up in my heart and in my mind, makes me focus on it, notice it, and then truly develop a heart that is thankful. There's a focus on the body in this verse and this whole passage. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. So it's not just me that needs to be thankful, but I need other people in the church to express thankfulness as well. Because one thing is true, discontentment and gossip and all those things can spread like wildfire, but so can thankfulness. And we counter all of those negative things with the positive expression of thankfulness. And boy, when you see somebody and you hang around with somebody and you're in conversation with somebody that's truly appreciative and full of gratitude for their life, for what God has done, for what other people are doing in their lives, it's hard to remain negative in that kind of context, in that kind of conversation. So thankfulness is the voice of grace in the believer's life. The believer experiences grace, the peace of God, and thankfulness expresses that, gives it a voice. Well, verse 16 says more about it, the word of Christ. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom. The word of Christ being the gospel about Christ. So the message, the good news of Christ. Let it dwell in you richly. So let it be the center of your core. And the idea is of it making a home in your heart. That's the language there. So not a one or two night Airbnb kind of visitation, but actually taking roots and making a home of your heart, like dwelling there, changing you, the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, finding a permanent place, and thereby affecting your life richly. And he gives a number of examples that we're not going to go into, but in terms of how that works out in the life of the church, teaching and admonishing one another, using the Word of God for that, of course, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs based on the Word of God, based on the gospel message. It brings to mind a variety of songs and styles, giving voice to the Christians and the church's expression of thanksgiving. Singing with grace. And the idea there is, the word there has to do with thankfulness as well. Grace and thanksgiving in your hearts to the Lord. Now, I wonder why in this place Paul highlights singing. And he mentions psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. He does it in other places. And it's really hard to identify. Is he talking about three different kinds of songs here or three different types of singing? And it's really hard to distinguish that. People battle over that forever. I think what he's just trying to highlight the particular way in which singing can help us together enjoy God and express our gratitude to God. It's a little bit like enjoying a meal together. There's something there. You got people around the table. You got good food. You got good conversation. But then there's something else there that you can't quite put your finger on. You know, when it's good conversation and good people and you're enjoying yourself. And there's something else that you can't just add everything up and it comes out to, 2 + 2 + 2 = 6. It equals 10. There's something bigger than that going on. You're enjoying something a little deeper and broader and more rich and sweet. And the same thing with singing, you know. It's something that unites us. It's something that, raises the joy and celebration in our hearts when we sing together. It makes us, in the act of singing and the act of thanksgiving, forget our differences and enjoy what we share together. It's a sanctified and a unified celebration of the gospel. So there's a power in gratitude that opposes the devil and every weapon formed against us. There's a power in gratitude. So it activates, this celebration of the peace of God in our hearts. It also, it's a power that opposes what is against the church of God, against our unity and against our enjoyment of the gospel. Well, the last one is the name of Jesus Christ, verse 17, and thankfulness. Whatever you do, in word or deed, which is just code word for everything you do, everything that you are, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. When you see in the Bible, the name, it's more than just the different names of the Lord Jesus. It means his character. It means who he is, what he's done, everything. And every part of our being is to live for the sake of the glory of that name. Loyalty to him, to his mission, to his purpose, to his character. A desire to live under his authority, to be pleasing to him. It's language here that sounds quite a bit like prayer, actually. In prayer, we come to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's only because of the name which captures what Jesus has done in our place and done for us so that we can approach him in prayer. He's made peace between us and our Father. And we come in our prayer and we ask him for many things. Sometimes that's the extent of our prayers. But you see, God does not need us to express what we need since he knows already what we need. He wants to change us in prayer. He wants us to see in our coming to him with our needs, our expression of dependence on him. He enjoys his children coming to him and telling him, sharing with him, expressing to him what we need. And so he teaches us in prayer as it ends, giving thanks to God the Father through him, that is, through the Lord Jesus. Thankfulness gives freedom to our prayers. It's not about me in the end and my ability to keep my life together. Here are all my needs, But that can, if my prayer just stays with all of my needs, that can keep me at the end of my prayer quite desperate still. You know, quite anxious and fearful still because I know those needs are not going to be met right away. And I know God in his sovereignty is often going to not meet some of those needs and not meet some of them right away. And so thankfulness at the end of my prayers or throughout my prayers is the freedom that says, God, you are who you are. You're going to be true to your promises. I thank you for who you are to me, what you have done, and who I know you're going to continue to be for me. It's a cure for thinking that we can run our lives. It's a cure for anxiety and fear. Thankfulness then is both, you know, it's both a part of obedience. I mean, how many times are we commanded in the Bible to be thankful? It must be good for us, right? It must be one of the most right things we'll ever do today is express our thanksgiving. So we need to give thanks, but it also becomes the source of trust and the source of all further obedience, because we're calling to mind and remembering and focusing on the sweetness of who God is, and we're thanking him for being who he is and for making us who we are. Well, Facebook told me this morning that that they care about me. I got a message, "We care about you." So they sent me a picture from last year's Thanksgiving. It's really nice to know that Facebook cares about me. Well, we don't want to be fake like that. And so sometimes, because we don't want to be fake, we don't want to be hypocrites, we don't give thanks when we don't feel thanks. Right? Sometimes it feels fake, you know, to try to come up with thankfulness when I'm not exactly feeling very thankful right now. The problem is that we can't survive in the Christian life without this key ingredient that activates and helps out with all the other ingredients. I'm going to conclude with some words from a great pastor named Richard Baxter from a long time ago. And he wrote this: "Resolve to spend much of your time in thanksgiving and praising God. If you cannot do it with the joy that you should, yet do it as you can. Do not say that you are unfit for thanks and praises unless you have a praising heart. Every man is bound to praise God and to be thankful for all that he has received and to do it as well as he can rather than leave it undone. Doing it as you can is the way to be able to do it better. Thanksgiving stirs up thankfulness in the heart." Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful this morning to be sharing this celebratory day and expressing thankfulness for, Lord, for so many things. Help us to be full of prayer today. Help us when we gather with friends and family to spend some time in prayer. There's all sorts of things we're going to be doing. We're going to be eating. We're going to be playing games. And, Lord, just enjoying conversation, seeing some people we haven't seen for a while. And we do thank you for that. We thank you for the freedom we have to worship. We thank you for warm homes and so many gifts that you've given to us. We thank you for marriages and families. We thank you for jobs. We thank you for answers to prayers. Lord, we thank you for the nation that we live in. We thank you for the beautiful world that you have made. And though it is broken, it still just displays the glory of yourself, proclaims your glory from day unto day. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he has accomplished. Dear Father, for his birth, for his life, for his just ongoing, persistent work of healing, bringing hope, bringing life, bringing truth, for his betrayal, his trial, his suffering, his crucifixion, his death, his resurrection, his ascension. And Lord, for his coming return. We thank you for your love for us. And we do pray that you would give us an increasing, ever-increasing desire to give you thanks, build within our hearts a thankful, fervent desire right there in the core of our being, we pray. So, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, do give you most humbly and hearty thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all people. We bless you for our creation, our preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for your inestimable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we ask you, give us that due sense of all your mercies, that our hearts may be sincerely thankful, and that we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service, and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen.